Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Michelle Knezovic. Nick Frazier here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe Rex Road out again today. We got a lot to get to for the rest of the show. We've got Preds general manager-to-be Barry Trotz coming up at 7:45, so looking forward to that conversation with him. Our weekly visit with Paul Koharski from paulkoharski.com at 8 o'clock, and then Luke Evangelista, Preds forward slash Milwaukee Admirals forward, calling in at 8:30. So a lot to get to on that front today as well. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So throwing this question out there to Titans fans, we know how last season ended. Titans lose 7 games in a row. There's a lot of injuries that they had to deal with. John Robinson gets fired, and now the transition with Rand Carthon taking over. Mike Vrabel maybe having a little bit more say, more power in the organization, and we've seen the offseason. They've addressed the offensive line both in free agency and the draft. They've drafted Will Levis to be the quarterback of the future. Not much help on the wide receiver front to this point for the Titans. So I'm throwing this out there. I mean, you take a look at either betting sites or narratives around the league, and there's not a whole lot of people that expect the Titans to be very good next year. And some people have them being really bad and finishing near the bottom of the league. Some people have them right around the middle, where it's just where I kind of think they are at the moment, which is right around the middle. My question for you and my question for Titans fans is, what are we going to learn about Mike Vrabel this season? What is on the table in terms of the roster currently as set up with, as we've talked about, not much at the wide receiver position, a questionable offensive line, although they've made some moves there. How much will we learn about Mike Vrabel, the type of coach he is, and where this thing is headed with him at the helm this season?
I mean, I think a lot of the success of this season will depend on Mike Vrabel. I think that based off the how well this team does, or if, you know, Will Levis does get out there and he is successful, and maybe they're not winning, but the ownership sees that, okay, in 2024, that will be the new era of the Tennessee Titans football. Will Levis will be taking over and we're building for then. But, you know, the reality is they lost 7 straight games last year.
Yep.
And the fan base is not happy. I mean, I can't imagine the ownership is happy either. After losing 7 straight to end the season, you had a 90% chance to win the division. Your general manager gets fired. But in the offseason, you know, it's been positive. You hire a new general manager. You make some free agent moves. You draft a quarterback in the draft. You're building a new stadium. There's a lot of positive momentum heading into this season. But, I mean, what fixes everything? Winning. Winning fixes everything. I think when you look at Mike Vrabel, there's going to be more heat and more attention thrown on him, because at the end of the day, he is the head coach, and we do have to give some blame to him for the seven game losing streak. I understand, right? Your starting quarterback was hurt. You were injured all over the place.
Yep.
And a lot of the blame went on injured players, went on John Robinson, and J-Rob was the scapegoat. But now, Rand Carthon has only been a part of this organization for less than 6 months. When things go wrong this year, Mike Vrabel will be the scapegoat.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about Carthon and Vrabel both tying themselves to Will Levis, and that's kind of a different discussion than now. But I agree with you. Like, the fan base is looking at this, well, you're keeping Ryan Tannehill around, or at least we think you are at this point. You're keeping Derrick Henry around, or at least we think you are at this point. And you've lost 7 games in a row dating back to last year. Like, the fan base is going to want to see this team be competitive and going to want to see this team compete for the AFC South along with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there's something to that. And look, we've talked about Vrabel before, elevating a team, right? You know, whether that's in Kansas City where you're totally outmanned and outgunned and yet you find a way to take Kansas City down to the wire. We've seen the Titans before when they're shorthanded, you know, going back to the COVID game against Buffalo a couple of years ago, the Vrabel special, as we've talked it. Like, we've seen Mike Vrabel do those things a lot. I think Mike Vrabel is a really good coach. I still think Mike Vrabel is one of the top 5 to 10 coaches in the National Football League. Now, having said that, we've seen some really good coaches before kind of lose control and things start to go the other way, and then things happen and all of a sudden they're not the coach anymore. And I'm not saying that Vrabel's on the hot seat heading in this year, but you do enough losing, and I don't care who you are, that conversation starts to creep up if you're out there. So I do think we're going to find out, you know, exactly what he's got, what he's made of this year. I mean, the table is not necessarily set for them to be a team that is competing in the AFC, and I'm really interested to see what he can do with that And Kaharsky pointed this out on Twitter last night, and we'll ask him about this coming up at 8 o'clock too. Like we talked about, not a whole lot of people are going to be really high on the Titans this year. Vrabel can use things like that. We've seen him do that before. Can he do that this year with this group? Well, I just have to wait and see on that front. But it's going to be really interesting to kind of determine that part of it as well.
Yeah, Robbie. And also, Philip and Franklin on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, brings up an interesting point. And I think you'll be able to answer this better because you were here when Peter Laviolette was here. But his question is Vrabel sort of the Peter Laviolette of the NFL? His coaching style is very effective, but maybe it starts to rub people the wrong way as we get further into his tenure.
Maybe. I'm not saying that that is a bad comparison because, look, I don't know. I'll be just to be straight up, I was around Peter Laviolette a whole lot more than I'm around Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can see some similarities there. Like, you know, they're very, very good at motivating players, kind of brash at times with the way they approach things. So I don't think it's a bad comparison. The one thing that I'll say that's different, like Peter Laviolette during his time here had a lot of the same guys on the team. And you're only talking about, you know, 20 given players at in one time that's playing in a game. And, you know, Forsberg and Yossi and all these different guys were here for all of Peter Laviolette's tenure. Like, Vrabel's had a lot of turnover. Like, from the moment Vrabel got here, like, I mean, Tannehill came in his second year. You've had Jeffrey Simmons got drafted his second year. Like, there's been a lot of turnover. So, like, rubbing people the wrong way or, you know, wearing out your record the voice going stale that we hear about with coaches a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know that I apply that to Vrabel because the room's just so different. Like, there's so many different people in there.
No, and I think that's a really good point, too, Robbie. I obviously wasn't here when Peter Laviolette was here, but the turnover that Mike Vrabel has had. And to that point, right, it has been the positive. Like, people have looked at the positive of what Mike Vrabel has been able to do with the amount of injuries, the amount of turnover, the drafting fails, because those mistakes have been, you know, put on J-Rab. But it was like, Mike Vrabel can prevail. He can get this team ready every single Sunday, and he can get this team to be the number one seed and this team to win football games. That has always been the, okay, well, good guy Vrabel, bad guy J-Rab when it came to the mistakes and the failures of this team. But on the flip side now, when you get a new general manager in and Amy Adams Strunk decides to keep Vrabel, you look at this power dynamic and it's pretty clear, I think, that Mike Vrabel has more of a hand in the drafting and the construction of this team. So I think when you look at it now and moving forward, the things that we talked about or blamed John Robinson for, the blame is going to be shifted to Mike Vrabel if these things continue to happen, because, you know, now his hand is more in all of that, and he's playing a bigger role from a managerial standpoint.
Yep, for sure. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Justin. Justin, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, Justin.
Good morning. Thanks. I actually have a Rand Carthon question, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
So I like Rand. It seems like he knows how to operate good organizational health. I like that he calls and asks other teams about prices, that he collaborates, but it doesn't seem like he knows how to operate leverage. Do you think that that's valid, or if not, like, what do you think his weakness has been shown so far?
Yep, thanks for the call, Justin. Well, I think it's hard to say at this point. Now, obviously, we've talked about the draft part of this, right, in terms of, I think it was pretty clear that the Titans were targeting C.J. Stroud, and for whatever reason, that information got out that the Titans were targeting C.J. Stroud, and we saw what happened with the Texans. They take C.J. Stroud, and there's been multiple different reports on all that stuff. You know, Jared's brought this up a lot on his show. Why does information continue to come out? And why do things continue to be leaked, whether that's the Kevin Byard stuff, whether it's the shopping Derrick Henry stuff, whether it's the draft stuff with C.J. Stroud? Why does that continue to happen? Does that have anything to do with Rand Carthon? I don't know. I don't know. But, I, you know, the leverage part of it, I think we're still pretty early in determining whether or not that's a weakness for Carthon and the Titans.
Yeah, I agree, Robbie. I mean, we haven't seen enough for him. We haven't even seen how one NFL draft can pan out. I mean,
And on the other side of that, I thought they did an excellent job with the Jeffrey Simmons deal. Like, I thought that was a great deal.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you look at it from that standpoint, and don't you want your general manager to be looking at some of these longer contracts and these big contracts and be finding out, okay, what is their value around the league? I think so often this term shopping gets thrown around and people assume that, well, Robbie, if we're shopping Rex Road on the show, that means we want him out of here. No, it means when you come in as a new general manager, you need to know what the value of all of your players are around the league. Because at the end of the day, I mean, these general managers and some head coaches, they're playing the game of trying to get the best group of players together, but also make it financially work and the ability to maneuver it and manipulate the cap and everything like that. I mean, he needs to know, okay, what is Derrick Henry worth in the NFL to other teams? We know the value he is to this team, and we know the value Kevin Byard has in this inside this organization. But when I ask other people around the league, how do they think about that? And then that's what shopping comes from. It doesn't mean they're trying to trade him. I mean, maybe it does, but it means they're trying to get information from everybody else around the league to say, okay, if this were to come up, if this were to be an option down the line, what is he worth to other teams and what could we get for him?
Let's quickly go back to the 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Chris. Chris, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Chris.
Hello, Chris. I think we've lost Chris. Oh. All right, we'll see if we can get Chris back on at another time. Let's go to Lee in Nashville on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lee, good morning.
Hey, Lee.
Lee, are you there? All right. We'll see if we can't get the phone line figured out what's going on there with Lee and Chris. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue this conversation. A lot of your thoughts on the text line as well that we'll get to coming up next. How much will we learn about Mike Vrabel this season as he enters into yet another season, both as head coach, but maybe with a little bit more power in the organization as well? That conversation continues next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Join 1025-1063 The Game this Friday for the grand opening of the new Dunkin' in Cane Ridge, located at 191 Burkett Commons Avenue. The first 100 guests will receive free coffee for a year at the Cane Ridge location. Yes, free coffee for a year at the Cane Ridge location only, and we'll be on site doing ticket giveaways from 7 to 9 a.m. Looking forward to that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Talking Titans, let's go back to our 1025 The Game phone line and welcome in Chris. Chris, do we have you? Are you there?
I think. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. Gotcha. Good morning, Chris.
Phenomenal. Thanks for taking my call. I just had a question about the Titans' future and the whole drafting Will Levis. Do you think the new stadium that's coming in a couple years is affecting their decision one way or the other to try and have a successful season versus starting trying to rebuild right now? I'll hang up and listen. Thank you for your time.
Yep, thanks for the call, Chris. We appreciate it. I mean, that's not the first time I've heard that question. And look, don't get me wrong. I think that in a perfect world, Amy Adams Strunk, Mike Vrabel, Rand Carthon would all love that by the time this new stadium comes around that the Titans are really good and that they're competing for a Super Bowl. Do I think that's why they're making moves right now? No. I mean, they're not opening up the stadium until 2027. Mm-hmm. So we still got a ways to go before the stadium gets here. Look, in the NFL, Will Levis may not even be the quarterback in 2027. Like, if you're the Titans, you hope that he is and that you've made the right decision and that he's your guy when the new stadium opens up. And, you know, if he is and he does well, that probably means good things for Mike Vrabel and good things for Rand Carthon. But 4 years in the NFL is a long time. Like, there's a lot of things that can happen in the NFL over that span. So I understand the question, and I agree. Like, the Titans, in a perfect world, they want to be a good team and they want to be competing for a Super Bowl by the time they open up the new stadium. I don't think that's influencing the way that they're making decisions right now.
I mean, I also don't think they want to be a good team now. I can't really imagine Mike Vrabel being okay with, you know, coaching a team he knows that isn't going to win games. I understand he probably looks at the roster now and he looks at the wide receiver core and he's like, this is going to be tough, but hopefully we fix the offensive line. I mean, we talk all the time about, you know, are they tanking this year to then try to be in good draft? I just can't see Mike Vrabel wanting to coach a team that's tanking. I really can't. So, you know, when you look at, are they in this weird transition of a rebuild, but also not a rebuild because Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, and Kevin Byard are all still on the team, you know, what does that mean? They're kind of in both at the same time, right? They're trying to still be a good team, but they're drafting for the future in a guy like Will Levis and Tajay Spears. So what does that really mean? I just think that it means that they want to win now and they still want to be a good team, but they also want to set themselves up for in a couple years. Yeah, of course, being good when that stadium opens. But as you mentioned, Robbie, 4 years in the NFL is such a long time.
Well, you're hoping you're good before then. Like, if you're drafting Will Levis right now, you're not waiting around till 2027 to make a decision on that. Like, you're going to know with Will Levis whether or not he's the guy you're building around by the time that new stadium opens.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they drafted Malik Willis last year, and it looks like they already knew that he wasn't the guy by, I mean, honestly, I believe, when they brought Josh Dobbs in.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they clearly made that known. Of course, he's still on the roster, and you know he's coming in with the mentality, probably a chip on his shoulder of, okay, you replace me with Josh Dobbs at the end of the season, then you go ahead and you draft a guy like Will Levis. But I think that they've already made it clear that, okay, Will Levis is the guy that we hope can be our franchise quarterback someday, and you know, hopefully he will for them, because of course you want to see them succeed. But will he? I don't know. And will his success, you know, determine Mike Vrabel's future, Rand Carthon's future with this team?
Well, I was going to propose a question to Robbie and you, Michelle, about, you know, evaluating Vrabel in this team. Do you hold it against him with the A.J. Brown trade? And also, do you also hold it against him with the Harold Landry? If Harold Landry doesn't pan out with his giant contract, like if that doesn't all work out, does that, I guess, get held against Vrabel in the process of evaluating him?
I don't think so. I mean, J-Rob was the GM for both of those, right?
Yeah.
So I think it was clear Vrabel was not on board with the A.J. Brown trade.
No.
I think that is, judging by his reaction, some comments before the trade, he wanted nothing to do with the A.J. Brown trade. And look, we said this at the time, and I think it's even more clear now, and it could become more clear as this season goes on. We may look back 3-4 years down the road, and the A.J. Brown trade is like the line of demarcation for the trajectory of the franchise. Like, you're the number one seed, you had a stud wide receiver, and you botched it. Like, you botched that negotiation and traded him. And everybody sees it now. It was a huge mistake, and it cost John Robinson his job. I can't hold that against Vrabel. Like, I think that was a J-Rob thing. Landry contract, I think, is a J-Rob thing. Now, you know, I'm sure Vrabel wanted to keep Harold Landry around. The last time we saw Harold Landry, he looked really good. And, you know, it was kind of a freak ACL thing last year. It's important that he comes back in. Number one, is healthy. Number two, stays healthy. And number three, is productive. Because part of why we're relying on, thinking that defense could be pretty good, is because we're expecting him to be back and to pick up where he left off. If he doesn't pick up where he left off, or if it's not even close to where he left off, then this Titans team might have a hard time rushing the passer next year, and that's not good. We've seen what that looks like on that defense before.
Yeah, Robbie, I'm on the same page with you. I don't hold the A.J. Brown thing against Mike Vrabel. I think it was clear in the moment. You know, you see the video of when the trade actually happened, and he has to walk away. I think the comments that he made prior, the comments that he made after, was on the Rich Eisen show, something about, you know, who are we going to throw the ball to, or something along those lines.
During the Ed Werder on the side of the field in the Kansas City game.
Ed Werder, yes. So he's made comments, little comments here and there, that I think have, you know, solidified that. I think also Vrabel knows that the amount he meant to this organization, and when you find a guy like that who you drafted in the second round, you do everything you can to keep a wide receiver like that. As far as the Harold Landry thing, I mean, he was coming off his best season ever. I think he had double-digit sacks, and everybody, it was, oh, you got to pay Harold Landry. If you don't, like, that's a huge mistake. He's such a key to your defense. So he gets the contract, and then unfortunately, it was like OTAs or something. He tears his ACL. I mean, you can't avoid that. It's football. Things happen. These guys are athletes, but to your point, Nick, of does he need to come back and does he need to be efficient coming off that injury? Yeah, of course. But I don't put that on Mike Vrabel, because in the moment, if Harold Landry was coming off that double-digit sack season and how successful he was and they didn't give him a contract, I would think, what the heck are you doing? You know, he's such a huge component to your defense. And he also was a guy who never was injured. I mean, the conversation around Harold Landry was he's on the field every single game. He's so durable for this team. And then, of course, you know, he does tear his ACL. But he was never a guy that you had to worry about with soft tissue injuries, his availability. And you just hope that he can come. I mean, it'll be over a year by the time he steps on the field for the first time. And
yep.
A season this year that he's off his ACL. You hope that, you know, he rehabs and comes back, but I don't put either of those on my variable, honestly. I put more of the decisions moving forward on him.
Okay. Yeah.
Like drafting Will Levis.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I better say that might be the more route to look at, because I'm not a guy that, you know, goes in for the $100 million deal, fat and happy contract. I'm just not that kind of guy. I'm all for getting paid, but at the same time, there's that just hesitation of worry. Like, are you going to be efficient? But yeah, I agree with you, Michelle. The next thing would be the Will Levis stuff.
I got a texter that says, if Vrabel is tied to Levis, why wouldn't he set him up to succeed by getting him weapons at wide receiver? And how different do you look at the wide receiver room if Burke steps up and Phillips stays healthy? I think the one thing to keep in mind about the wide receiver room as it relates to Levis, like the wide receiver room for 2023 and the wide receiver room as it relates to Will Levis, to me are two different things.
Yeah, I agree.
Like for 2023, the wide receiver room ain't looking great. For Will Levis, assuming that Ryan Tannehill is going to play this year, which right now that is the assumption that I'm walking on. We'll see what happens on that front. But they have time to build around Will Levis and to get him weapons. Right now in 2023, those weapons are not there. To answer the second part of the question, if Burke steps up and Phillips can stay healthy, then yes, I do feel different and feel better about the wide receiver room. They still need somebody else. Like, they still need another person on the outside there to go along with those two. And that's it, both of them, to me. Like, even if Treylon Burks is best-case scenario and Kyle Phillips is best-case scenario, I still think you need somebody else better on the outside than they've got right now, in addition to those guys, than Nick Westbrook-Ikhine or Chris Racy. Moore that they brought in. Yeah, I mean, it's – or Racy McMath. Like, you need eventually somebody else to go along with that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We've got Barry Trotz coming up at 7:45. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Paul Koharski at 8. Luke Evangelista at 8:30. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. We will do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. It's that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant, normally at 7:45, but Barry Trotz dropping by at 7:45 today, so moving it up a little bit early today. And Michelle, there's something that is happening tomorrow.
I knew where you're going with this.
It amazes me every year that this is the case, but people just freak out over the NFL schedule release. And we talked about it earlier. I will say the international games are a little bit different. Mm-hmm. I've got a little bit more patience, I guess is the right word, for the excitement over that, because we knew that, you know, it was going to be a London game for the Titans this year. Mm-hmm. Who was it going to be against? When was it going to be? And it was announced this morning that the Titans will take on the Ravens at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on October the 15th. So Titans and Ravens in London, that's cool. I think that's awesome. And a lot of people are going to want to go to that over in London. So, you know, being able to determine exactly when that is fine. But aside from that, like the NFL schedule release day and just the attention that gets paid to it and the hype that's around it is amazing to me. And I know the NFL is king in this country and it's by far the most popular sport and gets the most reaction, all that stuff. But it's like, guys, like if you're a Titans fan, you already know who you're playing next year. Like, you know that you are playing Houston, Indy, Jacksonville, Atlanta, Baltimore, which is the London game, Carolina, Cincinnati, the Chargers, and the Seahawks all at home. You know those are the home games next year. You know that the Colts, Jaguars, and Texans are on the road again. You play them twice. And you're also going to Cleveland, to Miami, to New Orleans, to Pittsburgh, and to Tampa Bay. So we've known that for a long time. Like, we know what the opponents are for next year. So why there's this fascination over the schedule is just hilarious to me. It's like, we already know who the opponents are, but now we know that the Titans and the Bucs are playing on November 12th or whatever it is. It's like, oh, great. That's awesome. I appreciate it. But this fascination every year with the NFL schedule release. I think Taylor Lewan tweeted this out the other day, too. Like, why is the NFL schedule release such a big deal? It's amazing to me. It does highlight just how big of a monster the NFL is, and it dominates every part of the offseason, whether it's from the draft or the combine or minicamp or even something as simple and as trivial as a schedule release of teams that we already know what the opponents are going to be. I just find it very funny. And here we are about a little bit more than 24 hours away from the schedule actually being released. And I saw some people even last night, both on Packers Twitter and on Titans Twitter, like, hey, guys, only a couple of days until the schedule's released out there. Just really excited about it. I'm like, okay. I mean, look, I guess if you're wanting to go watch the Titans play in Miami, or you're wanting to go watch the Titans play in Tampa or whatever it is, like, it's good to know when the date is. But, like, beyond that, the schedule release stuff is just amazing to me, how excited people get over this stuff.
Well, I hope that at 9 to 11, Junie will be joining me on Chase and Michelle today. And he is very much a proponent of – he is so incredibly hype for schedule release and has been telling me about it for about a month now.
Yeah.
But we all know that he is a diehard NFL fan. Like, in it, like, everything.
Yeah.
Everything. But I think it goes back to the point, Robbie, of everything surrounding the NFL is such a production and such an announcement and drives viewership and drives fans.
I mean, I'll give them credit. They know what they're doing.
Everything. I mean, think about how many months we can fill sports talk radio airwaves, national TV airwaves, the conversation on Twitter about who will be the most successful college quarterback in the NFL? Who will be the first non-quarterback off the league? Is Jalen Carter a top 10 pick? You know, he's not visiting any team out of the top 10. Like, it is actually crazy that you can take any piece of the NFL that's not even actually a game.
Yeah.
Not even a game. Nothing that has to do with on-the-field play, and make it a story, make it drive revenue, make it drive an audience. I mean, it really is incredible.
I get it that there's a scheduling aspect involved to it, so I understand that part. But, like, I guess the excitement is the one thing I don't understand. Like, you already know who they're playing. We already know what the opponents are. That's the thing that is
mind-boggling to me. People get excited to take off work and plan trips to
go. I get it. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, so I've been a season ticket member for a long time, and it started whenever I was, like, in junior high school. I would get the schedule, and I would get it in the paper, and I would go through, and I would always end up, like, 14-2, 15-1 when I'm doing the Titans, just because I'm nuts. But no, I would do that with my friends. Like, we would talk about the game. It would give you something to talk about. But then, like, as a ticket holder, it like you said, Robbie, it helps you plan a little bit. Everybody I know knows that I have season tickets, so I'm usually their ticket person if they're trying to go.
Right.
And so they're like, we plan 5 months worth of, you know, planning trips around my schedule and who's going to what game, and, you know, which is really irritating to knock all that out in, like, a day or two. But, yeah, no, like, it's a big deal for that reason for me. I get the schedule, and I usually get bombarded. So
okay.
I don't know if that's, you know, for everybody, but that's why it is in my house.
All right. Thanks for the call, Adam.
Thanks,
I get that. Like, look, the planning part of it, I get, right. Anyway, yes. I said it earlier. Like, if you're a Titans fan and you want to go to Miami this year, okay. Cool. Well, it's good to know when that game's taking place, and you can plan your trip around that. We got somebody texting in on the text line about, like, weddings. Like, there's a bunch of weddings in the fall, so knowing, like, when the schedule comes out is
don't do that.
Really good.
If you have friends who like sports, or just anybody who's very close to you, it'll just be easier. if you just wait until football season.
I'm a big-time offender of that. We got married on the day of the Tennessee-Kentucky game and the Alabama-LSU game between Joe Burrow and Tua.
Oh, my goodness.
Robbie. A lot of people watching the Alabama-LSU game at the wedding, which is
fine. Got a friend's wedding second weekend in October, and it's international, and I'm like, this is going to be tough. That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things to plan around. I get that. It doesn't bother me that people are excited about making plans. It's just
I agree.
Oh, my goodness, the Titans are playing the Dolphins on November 15th.
Yeah, we already knew that.
Okay.
Grab your popcorn.
We knew that they were playing the Dolphins on the road. It's just one of those things.
I do like Adam's point, though, of, you know, going through, which we already can go through, you know, the games. I know we don't know which week they're playing who.
Yep.
But you can already go through the games and, you know, highlight, okay, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. I guess it's easier after the draft because you kind of see a bigger picture of these teams.
Yep.
But that always is one of my favorite parts. And then looking back at the end of the season, and I'm like, whew, I was so bad. I think I had the Tennessee at 11-6 last year. I think that was my preseason prediction.
I think I had them 10-7. And when they were 7-3, I felt great about it.
Yeah, you felt great. You're like, yeah. And then that was turning up the tides.
Not good. I got a text that says, you talked earlier about the NFL international schedule. I'm not sure I'd be a fan if I was a season ticket holder. One less possible home game, meaning the cost per game just went up. And
That's true.
The case for the Titans this year. The Baltimore Ravens game in London is technically a home game for the Tennessee Titans.
That's tough.
So I guess it's cool if you're going, like if you want to go to London, you know, watch a game over there and have that experience, like it's cool for the people doing that. But if you're not, you are losing out on a home game if you're a season ticket holder.
And a game against the Ravens, which that has been a fun matchup between the two teams these last couple of years. Yeah, that's tough, right? And, you know, to decide to go to London for the game, I mean, that's a huge financial investment.
Yep.
Along with, I mean, season tickets are a huge financial investment, and the price is going up for them because of the new stadium. So, I mean, to do both and then also to lose that home game, that's tough. It is tough, especially since it's against the Ravens.
Robert in Nashville says, hotels need to know whether to charge $700 a night or $900 a night when the schedule comes out.
How about $700 or like $1,500? Yeah. Some hotels here lately, I mean, you can't even – I tried to get one for a friend during CMA Fest.
Yeah.
Woo.
I saw some of the prices around here when Taylor Swift was in town this past weekend. I would have stayed anywhere else.
In Nashville.
I'd have drove from Chattanooga.
Bowling Green.
It's like, good gracious.
I mean, gas is cheaper. Yeah, I mean, it really is insane, though. But to Robert's point, I mean, he's so right. These cities – like, if you have some inside source, and I know that
some
Donna
Buffalo
Kelsey.
Buffalo Bills team coming in.
Drinking all the beer. I know Donna Kelsey posted on Facebook yesterday about when the Eagles and the Chiefs play each other.
Yeah.
And people were like, Donna, you can't do that. I mean, she did it like 2 days before, which I just think is so funny that she posted that and let the cat out of the bag. But New Year's Eve, I will say, I am excited. Bengals Chiefs.
Yeah, that got leaked. So we'll see what happens then. But that could be a good one. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Barry Trotz, Predators general manager-to-be. Looking forward to that conversation with him. Make sure you tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds taking on the Gwinnett Stripers, AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Robbie and Rex Road presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Call TJ's team today to see why they're referred to so often. We'll have Paul Koharski from paulkoharski.com coming up at 8 o'clock. Luke Evangelista joining the program at 8:30. So looking forward to all that coming up on the show here today. And the Predators hosting the NHL Draft coming up later this summer at Bridgestone Arena as well. And we are just about to be joined by Barry Trotz, Predators general manager-to-be. Matter of fact, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Barry Trotz. Barry, good morning. How you doing?
Morning, Barry.
Good morning.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Barry, we were just talking about the draft. The lottery takes place the other night. You guys land at number 15 overall, and you have another first-round pick with wherever Edmonton finishes. So what's the process been like for you all preparing for the draft and everything that goes along with that to this point?
Well, it's been a really good process, actually. We just started with reevaluating our own draft, where our prospects are, where they are in terms of their development, and look at some of the holes that we may see in the future, maybe in the next, three or four years in terms of holes that we may be able to address during this draft. So we started with that process, and then the scouts have been really diligent at putting together a master list of the coming draft. So no matter what, I think we're going to get a really good player.
Barry, we're going to have Luke Evangelista coming up a little bit later in the show, and obviously a really exciting series last week for Milwaukee as they take down Manitoba and move on to take on the Texas Stars. What's just kind of been your interest level in terms of the young guys that finished the season with you all that have now gone back down there with Milwaukee, and how important do you think a long run in the AHL playoffs could be for them as they continue to try to kind of form together as that next core for your group?
I think it's going to be really important. I talked about it in my own press conference when I'm looking for serial winners in our organization. It starts in the minor league. It starts in junior. It starts with that. I've learned over my time as a coach that you get players, especially young players who've gone on those long runs, win the Calder Cup in the American Hockey League, a lot of those players are able to take the next step at the National Hockey League level. And then hopefully, that core continues to roll on and hopefully, eventually win a Stanley Cup. But it is a huge development tool, if you will, those long runs in the Hockey League, because you're under a lot of pressure, just like you are in the National Hockey League. The players grow. Those little plays, those little moments are so crucial for them to understand so they can have success at the next level.
Barry Trotz with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Barry, you talked about, the status of John Hines at the end of the season press conference, and now he's under contract, but some evaluation still needs to take place. Where are you at in terms of the evaluation of John Hines, and is there any news on what his status looks like for next year?
No, I said at the press conference, I'm going to evaluate. I think John did a terrific job, as I said. When I came on, we sort of moved four players at the trade deadline. He lost eight players to injury, and he continued to, forge on with the group. And what I like about what John did is he just coached the group that he had. And I know John and his staff are good coaches. I sat in their meetings. I listened to them. I understand what they're doing. So with John, I just said, from my perspective, everybody is going to be evaluated, and also I'm going to evaluate other organizations too. So if I can improve in any aspect of our organization, be it coaching or development, I'm going to try to do that. But I can tell you the staff is a really good staff. They know what they're doing, and I have a lot of trust in them.
Barry Trotz joins us right now. Barry, when you look at a guy like Cody Glass, who had to take on a bigger role this year, especially after the trade deadline and different players getting injured, what is something you're looking to see from him in this offseason to hopefully, be a guy who can play a top center position for you someday?
Well, I think with Cody, if you know his history, he's had a number of setbacks as a young player. He had a major knee injury during COVID. And was sort of, here you are, an 18, 19-year-old man. You're in a different country during COVID. You can't go see your family. The ability to get the training that you needed, especially with the injury that he did have, was very minimal. So I think he's a little bit behind in terms of his natural growth curve, but he's catching up very quickly. And what you see with him last year, number one, he started getting his confidence back. Number two, he started to believe in himself and started playing against, I'll say, more regular top line guys out of necessity. and he fared well. He's over at the World Championships representing Canada, and they had an exhibition game last night, and he got a hat trick. So all those little moments, I can go back to the game in Calgary when we were, you know, he was in a shootout. He was the last guy in the shootout, if you will, season on the line, and he came through. So all those little moments for him are building his confidence, and as he builds his body as a young man, turning into a you know, mature young man, I think you're going to see some real good things from Cody.
Barry Trotz is with us right now. Barry, obviously this is your, you know, first time being in that manager kind of standpoint as you begin your transition into general manager. But, of course, you've coached in this league for so many years. How is this time of the year, you know, May, we're gearing up for the NHL draft that's actually going to be in our backyard here in Nashville. How is this time of year just different from you? You know, you've been a coach in May, kind of the offseason, getting ready for the draft. But how is it different from, you know, transitioning into that manager standpoint?
Well, I think with, as a coach, you just manage the players and you're married to the schedule. And so you have a certain rhythm. I think with as a general manager, you're married to the situation. The situation right now is I'm sitting in the meetings with their scouts all day listening to, you know, the different players that they may be looking to draft. As a coach, you don't really do that. You usually come in on the back end when they've already got their list made. You know, you sort of know what your group is going to take in terms of players. Because they have them grouped. They have an idea of this, you know, 6-7 players are going to be in that area where they draft. So you sort of come in on the back end. I'm coming in on the front end, watching the whole process, listening to the whole process. So it's just a little different. But at the same time, it's very informative, and I don't think I have enough hours in a day to cover everything some days.
Barry Trotz is with us here on Robbie and Rexroad. Barry, the playoffs have been really entertaining to this point, and as you know, as a coach, the game is evolving all the time. When you watch the playoffs now and you look at some of the teams that are having success – and trying to visualize what that looks like for your group as you build your team moving forward, how do you think the game has evolved over the course of the past couple of years, and what's most important in your mind now to have success once playoff time rolls around?
Well, I think, you know, the game has gone to obviously a lot more speed and skill. It's a lot younger, and so you see the goals going up. That is twofold, I think. And number one is, the players are so skilled now, they can make some tremendous plays, and more players are scoring threats. Two, I think, you know, the players are younger, and because they have such great skill, they trust their skill, but they don't understand sometimes the risk-reward yet, as a, maybe a more mature player would. And so there's a few more turnovers, a few more, you know, you're not being patient and just, you know, grinding through the next minute, waiting for your opportunity. I think teams are trying to force things. I watch teams now. There's a lot of blowouts, and I just think what's happening is, from a standpoint, is when a team gets behind, they even get more risky, and all of a sudden it just blows up in their face real quick. Because you see goals come, you know, three goals really quickly. As teams try to get it back, if they're down two goals, they're trying to get those two goals back in the next, you know, 2 minutes, rather than, hey, let's just get one, you know, in the next 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes, then we'll get the next one and sort of inch your way, pull yourself back in. They go from being in the game to out of the game very quickly. So that's just patience. That it might be some maturity. That's a puck decision. So that's the price sometimes you pay with young players that are highly skilled.
Well, Barry, really looking forward to the draft coming up. We appreciate so much you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Barry.
All right, take care.
Absolutely. Predators General Manager Barry Trotz our guest here on Robbie and Rexha. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com. We'll get his thoughts on the Titans. Take your thoughts as well, like I said, on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This is Robbie and Rexha Road, 1025-1063, The Game.